Well, good morning. It's Sunday, July 24th, 2022. Well, since the beginning of April, we have been looking at the words we speak in the light of seriously considering the power of the tongue. Because as the word says, within the power of the tongue resides blessings and cursings, life and death. And today, we're going to begin closing this series with part one of our words to others. We're going to take some time this morning that is really crucial to consider when we think of the words we speak. We're going to step back and view our big picture. Then, in part two, we'll zero in on words worth speaking to others. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 that our new birth, that at our new birth, we were created in Christ Jesus. So we're going to start in verse 1, New King James Version, and we're going to focus on born-again ones from God's point of view. And I think of all the teachings that we've done in this series, this is just really has so moved my soul, and it's really one of my favorites. So Ephesians 2:1, New King James, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God," verse 4, "who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You know, boasting is characterized by excessive pride or self-satisfaction. And verse 10 gives us the crux, the core, the heart of our new birth. And it's on a scale that is beyond splendid. And it is not because of anything miraculous that we did. We weren't able to do miracles. In verse 10, "For we are his," God's, "his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are God's workmanship, which literally means masterpiece. God's masterpiece, that's what we are. And he created us in Christ Jesus for one magnificent purpose. Verse 10 says, "The magnificent purpose is good works." You know, our being God's masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that gives us our purpose. Talk about the purpose-driven life. You know, we should continue reading the book of God's eternal word and will. And I'm certain that all of us find ourselves wishing to change aspects of the way we are, or how we live. We pray for improvement in our conduct. You know, we hope to get out of unwanted ruts that we can find ourselves in. Well, here it is. This is what's available to us. All because we are God's masterpieces, and he created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. And all of this, God prepared beforehand. Everything was deliberate and with each detail having immense purpose. We'll read more starting in verse 13, Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood or through the blood of Christ. You know, we were once far off, but not anymore. Now we have been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. You know, when you think of homes, years ago, every room in the house was a very distinct room. There were walls that separated it from one room from another, but now everybody wants this open concept. The walls have been torn down. They've been removed, so it's one big living area. And that's what that wall of separation. There is no wall of separation between us and God. No wall separates us. Nothing is in our way but ourselves when it comes to change. God is for us all the way. And Jesus, in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So now all of humankind has access by Jesus Christ to have the Spirit of God on the inside and have no separation between us and the Father. You know, it's through Christ that we have this access. There's no separation, no walls. Any behavior or contact we admire or desire to become, it's ours through Christ. Of course, at this present time, we have this unspeakable gift in these earthen vessels. The New Living Translation refers to our earthen vessels as an earthly tent. You know, there's other translations that refer to our fleshly bodies as tabernacles. But the point is, once we're born again, our earthly bodies became the dwelling place for the Spirit of God. You know, I think of a song years ago that was really a favorite of mine. And, you know, we may have wondered in life, why, who am I? Why am I here? And what should I do with my life? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 answers these questions. From the NLT, we'll start with verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Verse 10, not verse 1, sorry. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. And good means upright, honorable, and acceptable to God. Evil is just the opposite, indicating that the deeds are not upright, they're not honorable, and they're not acceptable. But those deeds are worthless. They're of no account. They're ethically bad. And all that comes from the heart, the good and the bad. It both issues from the condition of the heart. And according to the word of truth, it talks about in verse 10, will we stand before Christ to be judged? Well, according to the word of truth, evil deserves nothing. So, you know, we deserve nothing for any evil we have done in our earthly bodies. So what do you think we're going to receive? Nothing. We will receive eternal rewards for the good. And we cannot prejudge because it is God who looks upon the heart of man. And Jesus Christ knows what is in the heart of man as well. what we see with our eyes. What looks good could actually be bad because of the heart, which we cannot see. And what we see that looks bad to us, to our carnal eyesight, it could be good because of the heart of that person. But verse 11 is for sure, because we understand that our fearful or awesome responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere. Paul was speaking of his situation, Apostle Paul. And I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so that you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. God is not going to look upon your denominational pedigree. His pleasure over you is totally in what you do with His gift that is inside you. He looks upon your heart. There's no denominational corporation earns us a special nod in heaven. Not at all. It is based on how we live our lives within His light and love. And this is why we so desire to live our best lives here at the present time. In verse 13, Paul continues about his life and the lives of the other overseers. In the NLT, 2 Corinthians 5:13, if it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. And of course, the New King James, the King James, it says, "For the love of Christ constrains us or compels us." Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. You know, the love of Christ, it compels us, it constrains us to live in light of all that Christ has done for us through the love of God. That's what constrained Him. Verse 15, He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Now, that's talking about us. We receive new life, and this verse tells us that we can live for Christ. We are not bound by carnality. We are not compelled by the love of Christ to live for ourselves. No, we are free now to love and to serve. Verse 16, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. Amen, right? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. We think like that new person in Christ. We speak from the mind of Christ. We live differently because, like dear children, we imitate our Father. We have a new nature that transforms us into a new person. And look at verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. Here it is. This is our task, if you will call it that. King James says He gave us the ministry. This is our purpose. See, all this is available. These are available ways we contribute as we exercise our ministry in our own unique ways. I might be the only one in my neighborhood of born-again ones that does a certain thing a certain way. And everybody else does their ministry their certain way, because we are all unique and we all count. You know, people who want to know what God wants them to do, have you not read? Reconcile the world back to God. Verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful word or message of reconciliation. Now, think about John 3:16 and 17 in this light. In the New King James, starting at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men and women, humankind, loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So, you know, our words of life are to be clearly heard, and our deeds are to be clearly seen. We declare God in the place of Jesus Christ. We are in his stead. 2 Corinthians 5 continues in verse 20. We'll pick it up again. So we, and this is the NLT, I'm sorry I didn't say that. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. What a beautiful passage of scriptures. See how important and impacting this knowledge is to consider before we think or speak a word at all. And honestly, if I were to do these teachings again, I would have prefaced all these teachings with this knowledge, because everything we think and do is to be in light of our spiritual reality, our spiritual identification. That's who we are. That's why we are here, and this is what we are to do with our lives. This is what separates the positive affirmations that people are encouraged to develop so that they can be at the top of their game, so to speak. Positive mind pictures and affirmations are one thing, and they may be helpful to you, but thinking the thoughts of Christ, walking as the dear children of God, Don't you see it's at a divine level? It far supersedes any mind picture that I could come up with to bring myself to my potential success. You know, it's critical to understand the difference if we want to truly triumph in life from God's perspective. So they both have their place, perhaps. But we certainly know that walking as dear children, thinking the thoughts of Christ at that divine level, we know for sure that that is our foundation. That is our stability. That's where we come from in order to build our lives. Whatever we may do in our lives, whatever occupations and secular professions, we are ambassadors for Christ. In verse 14, now thanks be to God who always, always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient? What a great question. And who is sufficient for these things? What a serious rhetorical question. You know, it is daunting, to say the least, to be commissioned by God eternal to speak in the stead of Christ, that we might reconcile others to God. It's a mighty work to exercise our ministry of reconciliation by speaking his reconciling words to others. It continues, for we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. And in the New King James Version, 2 Corinthians 5:20 is translated, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And clearly, that's what we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. And this word ambassadors are not novices to the faith, though it's the same word for the word elders. Elders were chosen to be ambassadors, so it involves the experience, the insight, the understanding, the equivalent of years of wisdom that a person gathers. That's all suggested by the use of the word elder. Figuratively, it is used of a preacher or an overseer in the throughout the epistles. You know, but this establishes the basis for our conduct. We think and speak like ambassadors who represent and carry out the work of our Lord, and our lives magnify the nature of God. The work of reconciliation carries a definitive way of speaking, which we will get into further in part 2. In verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the word to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word committed indicates an appointment to service. Christ used it of his followers. Paul used it in the epistles. He ordained overseers and bishops to care for the affairs of the churches, to help people, to keep them reconciled to God. Sure. The word of reconciliation corresponds to atonement. You know, you can think of it as at one meant with God. It is a change on the part of one party induced by an action on the part of another. In Christ's stead, we are appointed by God to reconcile others to God on the grounds of what God wrought through Christ. And in the epistles with the new birth, reconciliation is the restoration of the favor of God to sinners that repent and put their trust in the death of Christ and all that that meant, his resurrection, his ascension, his being seated at the right hand of God. You know, it is our privilege to exercise our ministries using the word of reconciliation. And we know that it works. We read throughout the word that it works. Just like he says. So it's with this preface that we are set to move into the epistles to see what words of reconciliation should pass across our lips as we speak to others. And also, in reflecting on those words, we speak to ourselves. And of course, remaining mindful that the motivation and the condition of our heart is always what God looks upon. Words are words, and they are sent by the motivation of the heart to accomplish blessing or cursing. So, until next time, when we cover part 2, enjoy a blessed week. Bless you.